Couple of announcements. Our annual holiday bake sale will be held on Sunday, December 11th, which is the same day our children will have their holiday choral service. We expect this to be a high attendance day. It's time to begin thinking about what kind of cookies, candies, holiday breads, pies, salsa, granola, etc. you will be making. Be creative. Last year we made around $700. Everyone would make two or three dozen more this year. We can make around $900 profit or more. Sign-up sheets are in the social hall. Thanks ahead of time for your participation. We'll also need help to set up and help to sell on the day of the sale, December 11th. Thanks, Esther Flakus, chairperson. One other announcement is the Conversation Project. This afternoon, starting at 12 noon, has been moved to in the sanctuary. So
we started here at 12 noon in the sanctuary.
Today's order of service includes announcements of other upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. To stay current on services, events, and activities, check our webpage out at lcuuc.org and like and follow us on Facebook. Please take a moment at this point to silence all your electronic devices you may have with you today as we begin our service. Thank you.
A candle alone is a small thing, but one candle can light another and see how its own light increases as it gives flame Light is the power to chase away the darkness. Throughout history, darkness has tried to smother the light, but in the end it fails, for always, somewhere in the world, light remains, ready to burn its brightest where it is darkest. And every free people in the world has remained free by resisting those who would extinguish the light in people's hearts, the light of freedom, the light of truth, of love. We who seek to increase this light must remember that just as one candle is a small thing, one person alone is a small thing, one nation alone a small thing. We must learn to see how much we need others. We must learn to see how much others need us. We cannot hope to reach our own highest capability until we help those around us reach theirs. When one heart kindles another, when one person strengthens another, when one mind illuminates another, the light increases and we pass it on. We light our candles to commemorate the eternal bridge of light passing from one person to another, reaching from the beginning of creation to fill the radiant spirit of free people everywhere. Each of us is a light. Each of us has the power to chase away the darkness in ourselves and in others. And we are strongest when we help each other. Come and let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the neighbors around you. Give it a minute. Good morning.
May our light never fail and our spirits never falter. Please rise in body or spirit and joining and singing us our opening hymn, number 187, It Sounds Along the Ages. Thank you. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to bring a message of hope and grace to an imperfect world. My name is Mark Brewer, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. No matter who you are or where you've come from, you're welcome here. No matter what your political beliefs, Democrat, Republican, Socialist, Green Party, Libertarian, we welcome those who have some of the answers and those who have none of the answers and those who aren't sure they're asking the right questions at all. As a UUA-recognized welcoming congregation, we welcome and affirm all people, regardless of who they love or what pronouns they use. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, find out more about our church. We are glad that you've chosen to be here today to celebrate and worship with us.
Justice and say to those who blame us for the way we chose to fight,
that sometimes there are battles that are more than black and white.
And I could not put down my sword when justice was my right. Make them hear you.
One of the ways that we make our voice heard in our community is by contributing to the local food pantries. We collect for the pantries and give cash every month, but we also collect non-perishable food items, which we donate. So if you have food items to share, please bring them forward at this point in the service or ask a child to bring them forward for you. And I invite all the children to stay up front for a story with our worship associate, Mark. And Jimbo, could I have the handheld mic for Mark?
Is called the Juice Box Bully. As Pete stood in front of his new class, Mr. Pelzer announced, "Let's welcome Pete to our team. Pete, you will be sitting behind Ralph." Settling into his seat, Pete pulled his hat down over his head so that only his eyes could be seen. Turning around, Ralph warned him, "They don't allow hats in class here." "You're not my mother," snarled Pete. After giving an assignment, Mr. Pessler walked around the class and quietly asked Pete to remove his hat. Once he walked away, Pete poked Ralph. "Thanks a lot," he growled. Later that day at recess, Pete didn't ask to join the soccer game. Instead, he watched. "Hi, Pete," Ralph said. "Do you want to get into the game?" "Not with those nerds," Pete replied. "I don't like those kids." "What do you want to do?" asked Ralph. Pete smiled spitefully. "Let's steal the ball. We're bigger than them. We can have our own game."
I don't think so, answered Ralph. That's not how we do things around here. Then I'll do it myself, taunted Pete, if you're so afraid. Pete ran over to the field and yelled, pass it to me. When David passed the soccer ball, Pete grabbed it and ran off the field. What's going on? Shouted David. Pete didn't answer. He ran faster and faster, then turned and waved the ball in the air. At first, the kids just stood there. Then they huddled together before walking over to Pete. Ruby and Lucy led the way. I know you're new around here, but what are you doing? Asked Ruby. I'm playing with the soccer ball. Pete snapped. Think you're going to take it away from me? Ruby didn't argue, nor did she threaten Pete. Instead, she softly but firmly explained, it's your first day here, so there's no way you could know this. In Mr. Pelzer's class, we made a promise. We promised to take care of ourselves, each other, and our classroom, and to solve problems peacefully. We promised today that in this class, no one would stand by and accept bad behavior. When someone acts hurtfully, we all speak up. We want you to be a member of the class and to make the same promise. Dumb rules, dumb promises. Throwing the ball to the ground, Pete walked away. The next day, Pete ate alone. When he finished lunch, the kids raced out of the lunchroom while Pete trailed behind. Ruby ran up to Pete and asked, do you want to play soccer today? I don't play with nerds. Okie dokie, Ruby replied. Hey, Ruby. Pete called after her. Ruby stopped and turned. Nice shirt, Pete complimented. Then he squirted his juice box right at her. You are so mean, she shrieked at him. I'll tell everyone how mean you are. You won't have any friends here. By now, Ralph, David, and some others had come up to them. Ruby, I won't let you do that, Ralph said clearly. Remember our promise? I don't want to remember the promise. Look what he did. We'll ignore him forever until he leaves the school and goes back to his old school, Ruby demanded. Ralph walked between Ruby and Pete. We're not going to do this, Ruby. I know you're angry. You can tell Mr. Pelzer if you want, but we're not going to let you treat Pete like this. And we won't put up with his bad behavior either. Ruby stomped away, leaving Pete and Ralph behind. No one's ever done that before, Pete said. Why did you stand up for me? I've been in your shoes, and I learned being a bully doesn't work. And I'm not a bystander, Ralph said. I don't stand by and let mean things happen. Ruby is my friend, and you shouldn't have ruined her shirt. Won't the other kids be mad at me for you sticking up for me? Pete asked. No way. They all made the same promise. We talked about it for a long time with Mr. Pelzer, and every kid here tries to keep that promise. At my old school, I got picked on all the time, Pete said. Everybody just let it happen. So I started to tease kids before they could be mean to me. Ralph replied, we decided that when somebody tries to be a bully, no one will stand by and let it happen. We speak up or we ask for help from an adult. We won't be bystanders to bad behavior. The bell rang, and it was time to go back to class. They hate me. They'll never let me play with them, Pete said. Before Ralph could answer, David, Lucy, and Ruby came toward them. I'm sorry about what I said, Ruby apologized. I can't believe I forgot the reason why we made the promise. If we can remember to stand up for each other, school is a lot more fun. Wow, the kids here are way different than at my other school, Pete said. Maybe I'll give this promise thing a try. Great, let's go talk to Mr. Pelcher, said Ruby. Hey, Ruby, sorry about your shirt, Pete added. Ruby smiled. No worries, I kind of like the new look. Everyone laughed as Pete and Ruby led the way into the class. Thanks for listening to the story.
May the light and love of our chalice lead you all today and every day. If you all would follow her to your classrooms, and if the rest of you could help me in singing the children out, the song is called For You Shall Go Out, and the words are written in your order of service. Normally, I tell the world's worst joke here, but I am going to skip it today and be a little more serious. Right now, there's fear and anger and division all across our country. People on every side are uncertain of what to do or what comes next. More than ever, we have work to do. Our church, this church, is a safe place of liberal thought in a conservative state. We have to be here, not only for ourselves, but for every person who hasn't found us yet, for every child who needs a liberal religious community, for everyone who will come in over the next few years and join us. We have to be here. We have to be here for every person who needs us to stand up and to speak out. This is our work, and we have to support it because we are a light, even when all other lights go out. Please give generously so that we can remain that light. This morning's offering will now be given and received. Thank you so much for these gifts and for everything that you do for the life and the work of this community. One of the reasons that we do come together in Beloved Community is to share both our laughter and our tears. I ask especially today that you remember that there are no two of us alike. We don't all share the same politics. We don't all share the same party. But we do care about one another. Hold one another with love and respect as you speak. Would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring you a microphone.
My name is Kirsten, and I have a joy to share. 35 years ago today, it was a Friday, November 13th, also a full moon, much like what we're going to have tonight. And for me, it was a blessed event because I gave birth to my daughter, Claire. This is her birthday today.
Can we take a minute and really embarrass the heck out of Claire by singing happy birthday to her?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Claire. Happy birthday.
My name is Jerry. Would you please light a candle of joy for me? And this is for one bright light, in my opinion, of the results of the election on Tuesday. And that was the referendum in the city of Delafield to ask for an amendment to the Constitution to proclaim that the people, that the money is not speech and corporations are not people. Barbara Begale and a few and myself and a few others knocked on over 1,000 doors last spring and summer to get signatures on the petition to get it on the ballot. We presented it to the city council where it passed 2-4 to get it on the ballot. We wrote numerous letters to the news to the editors of newspaper advocating for it, and it passed by 79%. This was the people speaking, yeah. And our song today was "Let Us Be Heard." Almost 100 communities in the state of Wisconsin have passed referenda like this. The people are speaking. It's time to get the politicians to listen to us.
This is Gus, a friend of mine who I went to the boarding school with in Michigan, Rick Perino. I've known him for 50 years. He and his new wife-to-be, Jerry, asked me to officiate at their wedding on Sunday. Saturday, this coming Saturday. So that's a joy.
Very cool.
This is Dan. Today marks our one-year anniversary of purchasing our new home in Waukesha. And we chose Friday the 13th because our twins were also born on the 13th of the month. So to us, that's a special day and not bad luck.
Hi, this is Lucy. I just wanted to ask for prayers of peace for a friend of mine, Sean, that I went to college with. He was diagnosed in mid-September with stage 4 melanoma and just slipped away on Monday, and we celebrated his life yesterday. So he leaves behind a beautiful wife and 6 and 9-year-old daughters, so prayers for them.
And this is Jim. If you would light a candle of concern for Bill Listis's brother, who suffered a severe stroke on Friday.
This is Claire. First off, thank you very much for all the birthday wishes. That was wonderful. A candle of concern for a dear coworker of mine, Beverly Marriott, who at 87 years young, passed away this past week due to complications from a brain hemorrhage. But up until that point, she was just as feisty and great and wonderful, and we all at CDS will truly miss her.
Hi, this is Fran. And if you could please light a candle of concern for our country, and that we do not confuse understanding, compassion, and empathy with appeasement, and that we stand strong in liberal, progressive beliefs to make sure that we do not turn the clock back in ways that will support hate, you know, all those things, racism, misogyny, Islamophobia, homophobia, etc. And just to not confuse compassion and understanding with losing any or giving up on our values. Thank you.
Could you light a candle of concern? This past week, my beloved friend Neil Gerdes passed away. And if anybody believes in a hereafter and you get to heaven and see an angel in beautiful, bright-colored socks, it'll be Neil.
Hi, this is Barb. Two candles today, a candle of concern for the very sudden death of a good friend this week. Her name was Roseanne Young. I ask for your prayers for her family. It was totally unexpected. And the second candle, I won't say joy, but I hope we can all remain strong in our actions and in our words, and gentle to bring the healing that is so much needed now.
Just a candle of concern. You know, there were so many incidents last week at Madison, and the things that just don't get publicized. Parades for sexual assault victims where other students are throwing things and laughing. Students who are really freaking terrified. One student who's been called Harambe at least 3 times this week. I mean, so, you know, I'm not super understanding right now.
This is Tom here. Most of you know that I'm moving to Beaufort, South Carolina in slow motion. And my house went on the market this past week, and so progress is being made. That's a good thing. And on the news from Beaufort, though, there was a fire yesterday, and the Black Chamber of Commerce was burned. And the root cause is not known, but the fears there and the assumptions that may or may not be true are being made.
The Low Road by Marge Piercy. What can they do to you? Whatever they want. They can set you up. They can bust you. They can break your fingers. They can burn your brain with electricity. Blur you with drugs till you can't walk. Can't remember. They can take your child, wall up your lover. They can do anything you can't blame them from doing. How can you stop them? Alone, you can fight. You can refuse. You can take what revenge you can, but they will roll over you. But two people fighting back to back can cut through a mob. A snake dancing file can break a cordon. An army can meet an army. Two people can keep each other sane, can give support, conviction, love, massage, hope, sex. Three people are a delegation, a committee, a wedge. With four, you can play bridge and start an organization. With six, you can rent a whole house, eat pie for dinner with no seconds, and hold a fundraising party. A dozen make a demonstration. 100 fill a hall. 1,000 have solidarity in your own newsletter. 10,000 power in your own paper. 100,000 your own media. 10 million your own country. It goes on one at a time. It starts when you care to act. It starts when you do it again after they said no. It starts when you say, we know who you mean, and each day you mean one more. Here ends the first reading. Choose to bless this world by Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker. Janice Marie Johnson wrote, words by Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker give me hope. Reverend Dr. Parker said this, your gifts, whatever you discover them to be, can be used to bless or curse the world. The mind's power, the strength of the hands, the reaches of the heart, the gift of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, waiting. Any of these can serve to feed the hungry, bind up wounds, welcome the stranger, praise what is sacred, do the work of justice, or offer love. And any of these can draw down the prison door, hoard bread, abandon the poor, obscure what is holy, comply with injustice, or withhold love. You must answer this question. What will you do with your gifts? Choose to bless the world. The choice to bless the world can take you into solitude, to search for the sources of power and grace, native wisdom, healing, and liberation. More the choice will draw you into community. The endeavor shared, the heritage passed on, the companionship of struggle, the importance of keeping faith, the life of ritual and praise, the comfort of human friendship, the company of earth, the chorus of love welcoming you. None of us alone can save the world. Together, that is another possibility waiting. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing "The Times They Are A-Changin'." The words are written.
Sink like a stone, for the times they are.
We'll get to that one. But it can wait. This is actually sermon number 5, if that gives you any idea of how much thought. This election season wasn't like anything I've ever experienced in my life. It was ugly in a lot of ways. For the first time ever, friends teaching 8th grade civics and 10th grade political science couldn't assign the debates as homework because they didn't want to expose the children to the language being used in the crowd and the violence. Donald Trump verbally attacked women, minorities, the handicapped, immigrants. He started with insults and vulgarity and then plummeted downward and hit rock bottom and started to dig when comments about grabbing women that he had made on a live mic came to light. And our country broiled with anger. He didn't specifically encourage fear and violence in his supporters, but it was encouraged. He targeted a Gold Star family, showed no respect for veterans with injuries and PTSD, and no understanding of the legal underpinnings of our democracy. And our polls showed Hillary Clinton winning by a landslide. And on Tuesday, Donald Trump became president-elect of the United States. It's been a frightening week for some of us, and some of us are angry. Other people aren't sure if they should be angry or not. Some are cautiously optimistic. Some of us are grieving and find ourselves crying on and off for reasons we can't completely articulate. On Wednesday, I opened the doors and said I'd be here to talk, and I had a steady stream of people. The last people were in my office at 8:30 and 9 o'clock, and I got home a little after 10. People just wanted to touch base and process, if only for 5 minutes, just to hear there's someone else feeling this, whatever this is. No two of us have the exact same beliefs. No two of us share the same politics. In this congregation alone, we have Democrats and Republicans and Libertarians and some Socialists, Green Party, Independents, probably a few that fit in no box or category. And we can all agree that we have similar values. Some voted for Hillary, some voted for Trump, some voted third party, and we're all here. And the questions I heard most over the last few days from our beautiful, dissimilar group of people, left and right and center, from others around the country, what now? What do we do now? This doesn't feel like business as usual. Is there hope? What's going to happen now? Let me start with one side. On Wednesday, two different grade schools had incidents where white children circled Latin children and started yelling, "Build a wall." Muslims are afraid in public. One had the lug nuts on her wheels loosened as a joke. Another had her hijab pulled off. Swastikas have been painted on some walls. The Klan is marching in North Carolina. This morning, a neo-Nazi group put out flyers intending to also march. A Klan march in Los Angeles got violent. LGBTQ families are afraid of what's going to happen to them. Women's health care and reproductive care is at risk. And all of us, including myself, who depend on Obamacare, are a little nervous. I wish I could, but I can't be Pollyanna and tell you it's all going to be okay. We don't know what it's going to be. But here's the thing. Donald Trump has a chance to be a president for all of us. He is the president-elect, and he has a chance to recognize that many, many people voted not for the racist and the bigoted persona, but because they were so sick of politics as usual that they couldn't imagine voting for one more career politician, even if it meant destruction. They couldn't take any more. Our Constitution and our body of law still stand. They haven't gone away. Good people throughout both political parties are still doing good work to take us forward. There is hope that the persona, the reality TV persona we were shown, will bend to reason and the constraints of the presidential role. And it's those constraints that I am counting on. Our president is not an emperor. We have checks and balances. Even with a Republican-led House and Congress, we have some checks and balances. But if our president falters, if he upholds bigotry and hatred as new American values, then we have a job to do. We can never turn aside from the values of love and inclusion that we hold dear. Never back away by 1 inch or 1 foot or 1 mile. Never say that it is okay to hate in the name of change. We must be the chalice light in the darkness. If necessary, we must be the thin line that holds the center, a point of sanity to come home to. We have to hold the center for Black Americans and women and Latinx people. We have to hold the center for the handicapped and for Muslims and immigrants and the white middle and lower class. We have to hold on and stand up for the values that we hold dear. And we will not be silenced. We will not give an inch. We will not go away. We will hear the roaring voices of the people who stayed home from this election. And we will hear the people who voted for change. We will hear our America saying it cannot, will not continue with political monkey business as usual. This may not be the change we wanted, but we hear people calling out for the reformation of our floundering democracy, economic system, and our battered political process with its partisan mayhem. Everyone has had enough, and we hear that. Enough of income inequality, enough of lifetime politicians voting in their own interest only. Enough of lowered wages and rising costs and tax breaks for the rich. Enough student loan debt. Enough corporations owning our political process. Donald Trump spoke to the heart of people who feel like politicians look down on them. He spoke to frightened people who say that their industries were decimated as businesses moved to Mexico. He spoke to people who just wanted to work and do good things for their families. He's their tasteless uncle who did really well, and now no one is going to tell him what to do, and he's going to come home and make it all okay. He also spoke to the racist and the haters and the bigots. If Donald Trump plans to help middle-class families, If he wants to increase their economic security responsibly, we can get behind that. We can work to make that happen. We can help make people who feel frightened and voiceless a part of a functioning country again. We can work to welcome those people who share our values, not all. We can help them become part of something greater than themselves, no matter what their political party. We can do that. We can support the fight for a fair minimum wage. We can refuse to allow deregulation of the banking industry. We can support health insurance reform, which does not remove care from 20 million Americans. But we can support reform. We can fight for reasonable immigration policies and a workable path to citizenship. We can level the tax playing field. We can help to prevent more tax breaks for the ultra-wealthy at the expense of the poor and middle class. We can work for reasonably priced college education. There's work we can do. In the words of Elizabeth Warren, as the loyal opposition, we will fight harder. We will fight longer. And we will fight more passionately than ever for the rights of every human being in this country to be treated with respect and dignity. We will fight for economic opportunity, not just for some of our children, but for all of our children. We do not control the tools of government, but make no mistake, we know what we stand for. The sun will keep rising, and we will keep fighting each day, every day. We will fight for the people of this country. The time for ignoring the American people is over. It's time for us to come together to work on America's agenda. Democracy demands that we do so, and we are ready. And we are ready. We can use the pain and the anger and the despair that have surfaced in this election as a guide for what our work must be for the next decade. There isn't an easy path from here on out, but there is a path, and we must be willing to walk on it. In the words of Holly Near, I am open and I am willing, because to be hopeless would seem so strange. It dishonors those who go before me. So lift me up. Lift me up to the light of change.
I am open and I am willing, but to be hopeless would seem so strange. It would dishonor those who go before us. So lift me up to the light of change.
Everybody sing, please.
the light of change. May the children see more clearly, and may the elders be more wise. May the winds of change caress us, even though it burns our eyes. I am open, and I am willing, for to be hopeless would seem so strange. It dishonor those who go before us, so lift me up to the light of change.
Give me a mighty oak to hold my confusion. Give me a desert to hold my fears. Give me a sunset to hold my wonder. Give me an ocean to hold my tears.
But I am open, and I am willing, for to be hopeless would seem so strange. It would dishonor those who go before us, so lift me up to the light of change.
One more time, please.
I am open, and I am willing, for to be hopeless would seem so strange. It would dishonor those who go before us, so lift me up to the light of change.
So lift me up to the light of change.
We will never let that light fail. Amen.
May we always be unafraid to be a light to guide the world home. Please rise in body or spirit to join in singing our closing hymn this week, number 170, Gentle Angry People.
We are a gentle, angry people.
together we are strong. There is hope, and we will carry it out into a waiting world. Peace, and may it be so.